Jonathan Waters couldn't make it, so in his place, I'm going to actually let David introduce himself.
Good morning. I'm Dave Brenner. I'm a curator at the Plant Introduction Station in Ames, Iowa, and I'm standing in for Jonathan Waters. I've known Jonathan for about 5 years. He comes to Amaranth Institute meetings, and his father helped found the Amaranth Institute going back to the early 80s, so I've known him since the late 80s. When I first met the father, Larry Waters, they had an almost exclusively Amaranth organization, and all their product came from the United States. But now, like all the other Amaranth marketers, they're importing from India. So I'll read Jonathan's presentation as well as I can. And at the end, we'll have a slide with Jonathan's personal information so you can contact him directly, which is what Jonathan really wants to come out of this. So how do I advance this? I'm sorry. Okay, there we go. So we'll talk about his definition of ancient grains, which is very much a marketing perspective and maybe not a biological one, but that's okay. It works. Ancient grains are big in the news. It's a hot fad, and this is wonderful for us in the minor crops. Advantages about how he compiles new foods, and he actually has a test kitchen. They're making foods, trying them out, working on compiling things. Advantages, and then about the supply chain. So this is his list of ancient grains, and I think he would add others to it, and it's not, well, it is what it is, and let's go with it. So amaranth is the main crop that I work with, the millets, but there are a lot of other ones. You could say, well, there's two different kinds of wheat on this, but wheat is not listed. Amaranth, which is the original main thing for New World Amaranth, New World Company, very desirable protein qualities, but the seeds are very small, so they're difficult to bake with, and that creates problems. If you're going to make a food, it tends to be either very heavy and kind of unfamiliar to Western palates, and New World Amaranth has been working on this really hard for years. Quinoa, everyone's heard of quinoa. It's got a larger seed, so it's almost equivalent to rice, and looks very good on your plate. Different colors are out now, and I think some of these other minor crops can catch up with it. Sorghum, staple starch, and teff. There are marvelous flatbreads made with teff that have a very special kind of bubbly texture on the top. If you've ever been to an Ethiopian restaurant, you can get these marvelous breads, and they're fermented, so they're just a little bit sour, a little bit like a sour bread. And millet, and by this, I think it's proso millet that he means. In our stores, it's almost always available as a bird food, but you can see it in all the artisanal higher-end breads in a fancier bakery. And lots of benefits that Dipak was just talking about. Surging health trends. There's, as we all know, a lot of people are having real anxiety about their diets, and the food industry is doing their best to work with these issues. And New World Amaranth is a company that's poised to really lead the way. New World not only sells its own products, but mostly it markets through other companies. So, for example, they pop amaranth, and then they ship the already popped amaranth to some other company that markets it, and the New World Amaranth brand is not even on the product. So it's a lot of value-added things that go out under other companies. So here's some of the things in the news. I think we've all been seeing these news items, and the National Geographic one that Dipak was just talking about. Ancient grains with new bite. 10 ancient grains to switch up your healthy carbs. A lot of people are reaching out for these things. And Research Chefs Association. I like this about the fifth one down. Black amaranth muesli from Bolivia. I think maybe some of you have seen this news item where the FAO is helping to bundle and market mountain foods, so they come from Altiplano and maybe similar places from small farms, and they're, I guess, what we could call ancient grains, but the black amaranth, which is kind of a weed, you know, nuisance product, except it's rebranded as a special thing, and I think it's fun to have a different color on your plate, and it's a new way of marketing, and it's brilliant, and we've seen this work well with quinoa, and maybe a lot of other crops also. New textures, new flavors. It's wonderful that our diets are changing this way. The non-GMO matters to a lot of people, and both kosher and halal certification. Halal is the Muslim version of kosher, and we can get halal foods now in Ames, Iowa. And these foods have these ancient grains in them, but they aren't the heavy, dense things that you think of for organic food or natural food cooking that was maybe around 20 years ago, but they're modified so that it fits ordinary Western or American palates. I imagine there are probably better food scientists in the room than I am that can read this and compare these better, but the high levels of protein, the fiber, which is, I think, one of these big health problems in our culture anyway, calcium, iron, a lot of, I think iron deficiencies are one of the more common problems, these are answers for it. So this is the start of Jonathan Walter's section about how they're adding value to these foods, and we'll have a few more slides related to this. So the texture, eye appeal, dispersibility, some of these are food science terms that I'm not really very familiar with, but they're made to appeal to mainstream choices. The pre-gel powder, and I'm not even positive what that is. There's probably someone in the room that knows better than I do, but I think it's a fat-removed thing, so it's has better storability. Maybe there's a better answer than this, and it could be used as a flour to make a lighter product. So he's finding the benefits of these different grains, and you can see the stars about where he thinks he can market the best. And he's away now at a marketing opportunity he had in Florida, which is why he couldn't be here. But I think most of you can read this about as well as I can. The pre-gel is mentioned with all these stars at the bottom. It comes back in several more times. Toasted flours, raw flours, emulsification, the pre-gel comes in again. It's one of their lead items. Moisture retention. So these ancient grains can be put in mainstream kinds of products, and bakers like them because of the texture for the dough and how you can process them in mixing machines. Cookies, crackers, yogurts, it works great. I'll leave you a little bit of time to read this. The shelf life is important, at least for amaranth products, because amaranth products have a little bit more oil than you want. So even for years, I've been able to buy amaranth cookies in our local stores, and there's enough oil in them that they go a little bit rancid and the flavor's off. And a lot of people are a little bit disappointed, and they don't know quite why, but they're working on this. And one of the ways would be to cook right from fresh grain. That way you wouldn't have the rancidity, but he's finding other ways to get around that. Yeah, and puddings are very important in their product line. glossy sheen, viscosity. It's pretty sophisticated. It's much better than the way I cook. Quick hydration. I think this is important in commercial kitchens. And these products don't look like the raw grain that you buy in the bulk part of the health food store. This slide I especially like. It's whose perspective do millennial shoppers want? And do you go to a scientist? Do you go to your agronomist? No, you watch what chefs are doing. And chefs these days are celebrities. There are things written about chefs and their opinions and preferences and new fads. And that's where food's coming. I think it's always been like that, that's where changes in the diet come from. People want to eat something that's sort of fashionable and wonderful and rather than just being told it's good for them. And if they can get both, it's even better. 1 in 5 consumers bought ancient grains in the past month. That's amazing to me. National Restaurant Association ranks ancient grains number 13. What's hot? And I imagine all of you have seen things like this in your own stores. Ancient grains are sourced globally. The amaranth that I've been seeing in our stores has gone way down in price and way up in quality, and I think it almost all comes from India. There's large, bright grains, but it's in the price range of the other grains, where it used to be the premium $7 a pound thing if you go way back to the 80s, and now it's mixed in with about the same price level as the others. And this is a problem if you were a farmer who wanted to get this very high prices, but it's also an advantage now for general use and maybe different kind of commodity applications. And the quality is excellent. North America grows sorghum, wheat varieties, rice, flax, some quinoa. Quinoa, I think, may be much bigger than the United States in another 10 or 20 years because people are figuring out how to grow it. There's a lot of programs to improve quinoa all over the world, and I imagine that market will look quite different in another 10 or 20 years. The quinoa still mostly comes from South America, and Africa has the teff. I think teff is produced in the United States also. And the Indians, I think, are way advanced about these minor crops. I believe they have Sortex seed cleaners to make superb, clean, human-appealing grain lots that the rest of the world is still catching up with. But, sorry, that's me. That's not Larry Waters. Rise of transparency. There's a lot more certification programs about just where these products come from, which farmer. I'm not sure how that's all administered, but there's elaborate programs to administer this now. Issues in the narrative. Ethical. Is local health diminished in lieu of commercial success? Does the personal narrative of growers sell? You need an appealing, or you want to have an appealing picture of the farmer in the field talking about the product. And I think we've all seen this kind of marketing. And should that narrative be sold? Maybe it invades privacy. I'm not sure what he meant by this. Downward and leveling price adjustments, especially with amaranth, but maybe leads to a bigger market. Incorporating ancient grains such as natural plant-based nutrition to almost any formulation. Yes, that's happening. Moisture retention, viscosity control, and flavor, GMO-free. The supply chain infrastructure, while broadly established, must continue to grow. I think that means more inclusive, more growers. Granolas, beverages. And this is about New World Amaranth, the company that Jonathan works with, well, his family company. Over 35 years of experience, closely held family business. I've met most of the family at these different meetings. They're based in Naperville, Illinois. I think their star facility is a gluten-free baking line, so they can bake for anybody under any brand at a production place, which I think is in Earlville, but I'm not sure. And they don't give tours because you have to sign documents saying you're not going to give away any secrets, and I haven't been willing to sign the documents, but wonderful, good for them, and I don't have to keep their secrets either. So please get out your notebooks and write down this information about how to contact Jonathan. He's looking for new ingredients, new sales. He's combining ingredients and testing foods. They've got a test kitchen. They've got chefs. And I think he'd love to hear from you. And I'm sorry he couldn't be here today, and I hope I've done well enough at standing in for him. Are there any questions? Is there somebody? Oh, yes. Yes, especially for quinoa. Is there someone in the room who can really define pre-gel? Yes, please. Tell us what it is. Does it have anything to do with storability or oil, or maybe I'm just wrong about that?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mistake. Yeah.
Ingredient is putting them through an
Thank you so much. We really needed that. I'm sorry I let us wrong. Are there more questions? Yes. I know they did. They used to have a lot of contacts with farmers in Nebraska and some other parts of the United States. They used to have farmer meetings, and I think they want to. They've tried to, and for whatever reasons, they're mostly sourcing from India now, but it's a thing they do. If you have a grower that's interested, they'll certainly talk and try and work out some kind of arrangement. But there are other brokers also.
That's the thing, David. If you have any more questions, he'll be around.
Thank you.